Hi, everybody. This is Servette Hassan, and this is Intuitive Inc. So I hope all you beautiful people are up for a really nice treat tonight. We have Lita Herman with us as our guest, and I'm going to bring her on in a second here. She's wonderful. She's a smart cookie. She went to Smith College. She was also a nationally syndicated journalist, but for the past 15 years, that's not what she's been doing. She's been learning everything possible about the five elements, Chinese medicine, Taoism. She's an author. She's written books. She's kind of immersed herself in the philosophies of Chinese medicine and healing and all kinds of other things. She'll tell you. One of the things that she's learned from these classics, though, is how intuition works. And this is Intuitive Inc. So we're going to break it down, and she's going to do this for me, with me, and explain step by step how we receive intuition from a spirit level. And that goes along with my philosophy, because I truly believe that everybody is intuitive. If you're alive, you're intuitive. I don't think that's quite like how psychic ability works, but we'll talk about the difference in that a little bit later. But in the meantime, let's give a big welcome for Lita Herman. Hi, Lita.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's quite a resume. You went from a graduate, Smith College graduate, to being a journalist, and then falling into this whole healing, medicine, Chinese, Taoism. I mean, this is all great. I mean, it's wonderful. What's the story behind that?
Behind my journey?
Yeah. How did you go from nationally syndicated journalist and into, I mean, did you start out wanting to do this? Or?
It's fascinating. I mean, I started out after college just working in industry and then writing for a column all over the country. And I was sick, and I went to get healed, and Western medicine, I had surgery, that sorts of things didn't work, and Chinese medicine did. So I got curious. And then it just, like, I got the bug, and I couldn't stop.
Well, no accidents, right? There are no accidents in life.
Yes. So, and I just spent, you know, every waking hour studying Chinese medicine, practicing Chinese medicine, writing about it, philosophy, Taoism, all of these things.
Okay, so that's what started it. You got sick, and it cured you, the Chinese medicine, correct?
It did. It cured me, and it seemed unbelievable at the time because the doctors told me there was nothing they could do, and I was, you know, very depressed, and then I went to Chinese medicine, and it worked, and I was like, well, how did that happen? And so I took a class, and then I just took another class and another class, and before you know it, I was apprenticing and just studying and thousands of hours of studying. It's a very vast topic.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you do acupressure too, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what... Can I ask you what you had or what kind of illness? You don't have to say if you don't want to.
Yes, I had endometriosis. It was very painful. I tried surgery. It didn't work. So it was great to discover something that healed it.
And what exactly healed it? Was it a combination of herbs and acupressure, acupuncture? What was it?
It was mostly acupuncture. I did take herbs in the beginning. I think they were very helpful. But I do think the acupuncture and acupressure really is what did it for me.
So then you went into a whole new career.
Yes. When I started out, I didn't even think I was going to go into a new career. I just was interested. I was just curious. And then before you know it, I started a whole new career.
Well, that's kind of paraphrasing Thoreau. You know, when you move in the direction of your passion, the universe opens up for you. You know,
just
happen. It comes along on its own. And you were passionate about it, so it worked. Now, you've written some books as well, right?
Yes, and the amazing thing is I was a writer first, and now I've returned to writing again. It's like I synthesize all of this very complex, esoteric information, and I've been able to, you know, put that into simple, easy to learn, easy to incorporate in your life books and concepts.
Okay, so are the books mostly about healing?
No, the books are more about sort of your life and your understanding yourself. I am also writing books on healing. I have a book on a technique called Gua Sha, which is a book that heals pain and helps you not get cold. But the other books I've written are about the five elements, which is what I was talking to you about, because right. The five elements, one of the things they have is intuition.
Right. Okay, let's talk about that. What does that mean, the five elements?
So the five elements is how to describe people's energy. Everyone has an energy type that's a makeup of these five elements. And so the five elements are wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And metal, the metal element, is the most intuitive element because each of the five elements has a spirit associated. We have five spirits, not just one. We always think, oh, it's our spirit. Well, we actually have five aspects of a spirit, and one of them is our intuition, which is associated with the metal element.
Okay, so does everybody have that?
Yes, everyone has intuition. And what the Chinese believe is that while everyone has intuition and they actually have all of the five spirits, the people who are metal might have a little bit more intuition than others by default.
Just because of their energetic makeup?
Yeah. So, for example, like I don't have a lot of metal, so my intuition's not so great. So what does that mean? That means, you know, if someone's BSing me, I might not pick up on it. I might be in a dangerous situation. I'm not totally knowing that I am. I have a friend who's metal who went to college in Brooklyn when we were going to college, and it was a very dangerous neighborhood, and he lived in a house with about 20 people, and every single person in that house got mugged except him. Hmm. And I think it's that intuition. You know when the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up?
Right.
And, you know, there's really no evidence of it, but you just know, you know something. Wow. And I think that person had an incredible intuition.
Well, that's the story of my life. That, you know, messages just come to me. I mean, they come from in all ways and shapes and size. Sometimes I hear things. Sometimes I feel it. Sometimes I get an image, a flash of a scene in front of me or something. And if I'm not asking for it, especially if I'm not asking for it, it always happens. Always. It's kind of
Yes. And that's the way intuition works. It's very immediate. It's in the now moment. Mm-hmm. It's not as much a predictor of a distant future, but maybe like the next few seconds or the next minute. It's very immediate.
Right. Now, how does one, okay, then we were going to talk about how to develop, what, you know, how we tune in to intuition. You know, how does that work for you?
Yes. Right. Yes. So they actually have a very famous poem in Chinese medicine called The 13 Appearances. And it's step by step kind of how to do your life. And it's very interesting because the first thing that happens is intuition.
Wow. Okay.
And it's very interesting that that's first. So before you even get an idea, you have an intuition, then an idea, like a thought. And then that thought has to stick around for a while. Think of all the thoughts we have every day that are just, you know, you just toss them out. That was a dumb thought, you know. But then there's the ones that stick around. It means that your heart got interested in it and you started developing a passion for that idea.
Right.
Now you have a purpose. You get a purpose and intent, and then you still don't ask how you're going to do this thing. You kind of reflect on things for a while, and you get a will to do it. And then finally, the last thing you should do is ask, how am I going to do this thing? Which is kind of not how people have been living in our culture lately. They're always asking, how? How can I do this? How can I do that? And they're not letting their intuition kind of come in slowly, take its time to gain the willpower to do something.
Right. That's
kind of, you know, that.
Yeah, that kind of follows karma yoga, you know? Are you a person being? Are you a person thinking? Are you a person feeling? Are you a person doing? And doing is the lowest level. being yes. is the highest level, just being. And then it's
yes.
it's feeling, thinking, and then doing. So, I mean, that's...
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's not 13, but that's pretty much what they're saying in a nutshell, right? How to...
Yeah, it breaks down to 13 because I skipped a couple of things. One very interesting one that I thought you'd be interested in mm-hmm. is the intuition spirit is paired with the one that I call the oracle. Wow. So the intuition is that immediate knowing that we have, that mm-hmm. thing with the hair on the back of your neck. Mm-hmm. The oracle is the one that when you have a dream or you go to bed at night and you wake up and you go, oh, I know what to do now. That's called the oracle. It's like the predictor of the future. Right. It's the one that says something's coming in the distant future and
oh, yeah.
prepare for it.
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, very much.
Yeah.
I think I'm a little bit stronger in that category than my intuition. Well, not that I don't have intuition. And you did ask me, how could you create more intuition in your life? And the best way to do that is to work on your senses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize that a big part of our intuition is our ability to use our senses. Sight, sound, even taste and touch are very much a part of intuition. In Chinese medicine, they say it's our animal instinct. That's what intuition is. And so it's like, you know, when you smell something and it just gives you this knowing, like, ooh, or a person, like you meet a person and you know they're not being authentic.
Right.
How do you know that?
Right. Well, I think intuition is just like a muscle. The more you tap into it, the better it gets. It's just like anything else. And I do distinguish because I think psychic ability is where people can move into an energy field and sort of pull out some energy. And then oftentimes the mistake they make is that they interpret it through their mind, which could lead to error. Because unless they're really good, and there are some really good psychics out there, but then there are some that, you know, they can pull out some energy and say, oh, look, there's movement. You must be moving. But in fact, you may just be buying a car and be thinking about driving new cars or something. You know what I mean? So you can't use your mind in that. You can't interpret it logically. You have to let it hit you. And you have to let it hit you
yeah.
through your senses. So I agree with the... I mean, to me, just like we have instinct to stay alive, I mean, I'm not telling my lungs to breathe. They just know to breathe. And if I had to digest my own breakfast, I'd be dead by now, you know? It's like our body knows what to do. It has instinct. It knows. And I think I correlate intuition as instinct for the soul. It's a spontaneous
yes.
reaction of your spirit, of your soul. That's the part of you. And that's why
yes.
I think every single person on the planet is intuitive. And the more you use it,
yes.
the more you tune in. And that oracle thing, boy, that really got me because my father rarely has dreams about me or anybody for that matter, but I'll tell you something, every time he's had a dream about me, it's happened. It's like,
wow,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, strong. And, I mean, oracle.
Yeah,
or
it already like he had a dream. I mean, I swear I was like a teenager at the time, like maybe 17 or something, and I tried a cigarette. And my father, like, and nobody knew, no one. It was impossible to have caught me. I was like at school, you know, no one saw me. And he dreamt it like a week later, he woke up and he said, did you have a cigarette? I was like, what?
Oh my God.
I've been caught. I mean, he dreamt it and I was, and it's certainly happened to me. I've had dreams where 6 months or 8 months later or something, it's actually happened. And I think, and I look around and think, this is sort of weird. It's like deja vu. And I think,
right.
Oh, I knew. So I don't know if it's, what do we do? I mean, I think that's, the oracle thing is really interesting to me, but that's not something
yeah.
that you can develop though, is it? Or is it?
Yeah, actually, I do think it is something you can develop. I recently gave a talk on the oracle and how
uh-huh.
to develop it.
Okay.
One of the ways that people have been able to sort of increase their oracle abilities is working with, when you go to sleep at night, writing down a question that you want an answer to. And then in the morning when you wake up, you write down what you've dreamt. And it may not I tell people to take their time, but to keep at it, because over time they've been able to kind of increase that oracle ability if they don't already have it, like, a lot. Everyone has an oracle. It's just that some have better access, like your father, to it.
Right.
But I wanted to tell you that there's one.
Go ahead. He just can't do it. Like, I've asked him, well, can you, like, get it? Can you do it on command? And he goes, no. If it comes to me, it comes to me. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know?
Well, the people that are wood that I know do it on command, and they literally go to sleep, ask the question, and they get an answer, and it's always right.
Well, I'm going to try it tonight. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
Dad, do you do it?
Awesome.
Lita, do you do it?
Yeah.
Do you get an answer? Do you get an answer?
I've increased my ability to do the oracle in this way. I go to, you know, I use this technique. Again, so there are three psychic abilities, one we haven't talked about yet, and that's the one I'm strongest in. The third one is associated with fire, and that's it's just basically your emotional psychic ability.
Okay.
So, you know, those people that can read your heart and your emotions, they just know what another person's feeling. And I think that's a psychic ability as well.
Oh, definitely. I definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And you're very strong at that, you said. You typically, that's fire.
That's my top ability, and I am fire. So I use that in my practice every day, and I think that's why my practice is so busy, because people really need to sort of bare their soul, and that's what the heart does, you know. And I'm able to really tune into that.
Right.
And I've met other psychics who are fire, and they don't so much tell you your future, but they tell you about you on a very deep level. And I think that's also the fire one.
Right. And that's very helpful too, because then you know why you're doing what you're doing, or why patterns keep repeating themselves, or why you're not, what's stopping you from actually being who you want to be.
Exactly. Yep.
It's all that subconscious stuff that they need to let it out, and you're good at that. I could feel that. See?
Yes, that's
I'm using my feeling. No.
Yes. And interestingly, the other two spirits are not psychic at all. The spirit that's associated with Earth is your mind, and it's really your heart mind, but it's thought.
Is it your intellect? Or is it?
Yeah, it's kind of your purpose and intent in the sense of yourself, like your identity and your intellect. And then the other one is associated with water, and it's your will to do. So it's all about doing and experience and living and wanting to live, have a reason to live even.
A purpose is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think that's important. Everybody needs to know all of those things, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, most people are, they're trying to figure out what they're here for. So are we all five elements are within us, but one is stronger than the other?
Exactly. I actually say that we have all five elements in us, but in a certain order, like you stack them up. So you might have metal, fire, earth, wood, and then water, you know, so maybe I'm just guessing, like your water could be last. And then, you know, that's just really the first three are what is important.
Okay. And then when we determine that, how does that help us? Or what?
Well, since we're talking about spirit and psychic ability and things like that, mm-hmm. if you knew which one was first, let's say you, just from this conversation, you go, oh, I'm really strong on that intuition one. If you know that, then there's a couple things. You could just really work on being more aware of your intuition and increasing it, because you have a natural ability for that. So why not really use it? You know, instead of going, why am I like that? Just go, wow, I'm so great. I'm like that. And you can really use that to your advantage. Or you could also say, wow, I'm kind of weak on the oracle, and go and develop that the way we said. You know, you can practice with dreaming at night and seeing if you get, you know, you can increase that ability.
Right. So you can ask a question or you can just set an intention with a dream before you go to sleep.
Yeah. And it's amazing because if, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people who are really, really good at this. And what they say, you know, those really clear dreams, they're almost like clairvoyant. Like you wake up and you just know that that dream was different than any other dream.
Right.
It feels real.
Right.
Those are the dreams to pay attention to. That's when the oracle is talking to you, your oracle.
Right. You know, I've done it without realizing I've been doing it. I've gone to sleep and said, I need an answer to a problem. You know?
Yeah.
Please give it to me.
What do we say? Oh, I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm going to sleep on it.
That's right.
When we need to make a decision.
That expression. Yeah, that's what that's about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that spirit is heightened at night. Intuition is heightened at dawn. Isn't that interesting?
No, yeah. Say that again. Say that again.
So the most sort of active an oracle spirit is at night between the hours of 11 and 3, or right now, because we decline into daylight savings, from 12 to 4 is when the oracles will talk to you.
Okay.
And the intuition, your intuition is most active at dawn. And one of the things that I love in the classics that they talk about is when we wake up, that intuition, that spirit of intuition, turns to our heart and receives the instructions for the day. It's like it intuits the instructions. There's no words in that.
Uh-huh.
And then for the rest of the day, that spirit of intuition sort of tells you what you do for the day.
And that happens
at dawn.
Do you do that? Do you meditate in the morning where you tune into that, your intuition?
Yes. Yes, because it's so important to, like I said, remember in the beginning when we were talking about the 13 appearances, if you take some time and really just receive whatever that magical thing that happens in the morning, you kind of get a sense of, oh, this is what I need to do today. That's actually your spirit working, your intuition.
Right.
And it's giving you those instructions, the instructions of the day.
Right. And that, I believe that's coming directly from source and God or divine, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter as long as you call it. But I really think that's our direct connection. And when you follow that, you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong. It takes you exactly where you need to go, even if you're not sure why. Like you learned to write as a journalist. Little did you know you were going to be using it years later to help people with these healing books of philosophies and things that you're teaching people. It's amazing.
I never thought I'd be writing about this back then. I mean, I had no idea.
No, of course. What were you writing about back then?
Well, I started writing about technology because I was working in the technology field. And then just oddly, I got a job with the San Francisco Chronicle writing about apartment living. And I had lived in a ton of apartments at that point. I was kind of an expert. So it took off. You know, it was down in San Diego and L.A., the L.A. Times, and New York and Chicago. It just went crazy.
It is not funny. That's the furthest thing away from pretty much what you're doing now. It's like
night
and day. I think it's awesome. Night. I really do. I really do. I think that it's fascinating, and that how you got into it and where you're going with it, it's all amazing to me. So, and I really love that you're deeply connected to. I think it's because Tao, all of the philosophies, I can't think of any religious or even human potential movement where at some point they just don't. Whether they say trust your gut or not, it's all about connecting to that still, quiet place inside of you.
Yes.
Right?
And yes, and I think what has helped me about the Chinese medicine view is just to see that there are different aspects of that. Because before that, I was kind of like psychic ability. I grew up in the daughter of two teachers, you know, very scientifically oriented. I mean, intuition, forget it, you know, psychic, So, you know, when I started on this path, I was surprised that I had, you know, psychic abilities based on when I started to understand these things, that I actually could tap into that.
Yeah. Can you tap into it with your other people as well, or are you just talking about your own ability to intuit things for yourself? Can you see other people's futures, or other people's directions?
Because I'm more of that fire heart type, I don't tend to have that future ability that the oracle wood people have. They have a tremendous ability to be able to see what needs to happen for people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that can be a source of frustration for them because they can clearly see when a person's going down the wrong path, and sometimes they can't stop them. But
right.
And then the metal, it's more like they have instinct when people are BSing them. It's more like they really get this sense of when people are authentic.
Right.
So, you know, they could help people, I suppose, be more authentic and be more connecting on a deeper level. That's sort of their role.
Right. So are you teaching people how to connect into that intuitive side and all these elements and everything else to heal mostly themselves?
Yes. One of the things that I love to do in my practice is not only, you know, the points themselves, but I really like to teach people about themselves. And the five elements is a great way to do that. So if you know, for example, that you are metal, that you have a strong intuition, you might not value that part of yourself because our culture is not metal and not very intuitive oriented. It's a wood culture. And so it's all about goals and achieving goals and, you know, getting from point A to point B, and what direction are you going? These are all the things that wood is talking about. So our culture being wood, we have an abundance of that. And then the metal element is about sitting back and listening, meditating, being quiet,
right,
watching. And that's not very prized where we are. It is in other cultures, but not here.
No.
So, you know, to teach someone that that is a fantastic trait and that they should develop that more and value that more can really help people who are like down on themselves or negative about themselves, which can happen quite frequently, especially if your parents didn't support you,
right,
being you who you were. Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So a lot of the healing comes from accepting yourself. And when you have a dialogue of, you know, phrases and words of the five elements to say, wow, I'm cool too, this is good, this isn't, you know, something that I should constantly be trying to change, then they get tremendous healing. It's amazing. Like a lot of autoimmune diseases have sort of a source of really not accepting yourself as the basis of it.
I agree.
Go ahead. And I was just going to say, and for that reason, I treat a lot of autoimmune diseases. I get a lot of people who were doctors have said, I don't really know what to do with you. And then they show up in my practice. And we work on some more spirit level things. It's not just their body, but
right,
their,
right,
know.
I agree. I think there are a lot of especially autoimmune diseases that I think we put on ourselves. I think it's like a, and I'm all about just being who you are. Be you to the full. I end my show that way every time I do it, is be you to the full, because that's what's really beautiful. You know, it's,
I love it.
When we're trying to be something we're not, that's what gets us in trouble. I mean, or gets us not where we want. We fight things, and we fight them because we think we're supposed to, not because we even want to. You know, oh no, I'm supposed to have a job that pays really well, and I'm supposed to have a nice car, and I'm supposed to have this and that and that and this. And maybe that's not who you really are deep down inside. Or maybe it is.
Yes.
It's just we have to run our own show. You know, we have to be us and stop living by what other people are telling us we should be. Or we think
that's the premise of the Five Element books. Exactly that.
Well, good. Okay. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell everybody. I don't think we need laws of attraction and law of this and law of that. There's like 9 million of them, by the way, not just the law of attraction. Yeah. And you can keep reading all these self-help books till you're blue in the face. And then people come to me afterwards and say, how come nothing's changed? And I said, well, that's because there's a little bit more to this. And it's really not that complicated. It's not. It's just about you connecting with who you really are, that deep sense of self. And that makes you happy. And when you're happy, there's nothing you can't do. You get passionate about something and you run with it and it works. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, one of the things I've looked at is also in relationships. So a lot of times people are in a relationship and they love that person very much, but the dynamic is causing them to not appreciate themselves and who they are because the other person is trying to get them to change and be who they are. And it happens a lot with parents and children, but also with partners.
Oh, God.
And so
all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very common thing. It's almost like, I love you, but if you could just be more like this. And then,
yes.
And a lot of women, don't you hear a lot of women have said to me over the years of doing this for so long, I lost myself. They say that. They say, I lost myself in my marriage, or I lost myself in that relationship. And that's because that's what happened over the years. And then they just aren't who they were or who they started out to be. And then they have to catch up.
And I wrote a book called The Energy of Love. And what we do is we walk people through all of the energy combinations. So if you're married and you have fire and metal, for example, which are opposites, how would those two sort of be able to resolve those kinds of issues? You know, it's just interesting when you say, hey, I'm different than you. This is how I was born. It's just who I am, and these are all the great things about me, and these are all the great things about you. Let's kind of create a new dynamic that works for both of us.
Right, right. You keep mentioning a practice, Lita. Now tell everybody, where are you? Where is your practice? Where would they go if they want to see you?
I'm in Northampton, Massachusetts. I also work with a lot of people online via Skype or FaceTime or whatever, but you can certainly come to my practice in Northampton. And also I work when I travel as well, so sometimes I might be in your area.
Okay. So tell everybody your website or how to find you or...
Oh, yes. So it's LitaHerman.com for my practice, so that's LetaHerman. And I also have several websites for my books. And so if you search on my name, you'll see a variety of things that I've been working on.
What are you working on right now? What's the latest?
Well, right now, I just co-founded a new media company called Born Perfect, Inc. And basically, we're producing books on ancient wisdom for modern times, as well as online classes. So we just launched a new class on Chinese medicine technique called Gua Sha, and we've written several books, and we're publishing a new book on Tibetan medicine and anxiety, how to heal anxiety.
Those
are some of the projects
I love the name. I love the name. The name of it is Born Perfect, right? It's the name.
Yes.
Did you come up with that?
Well, you know what I did? Years ago, I did an interview with a newspaper, and I talked a lot about how in Taoism we believe that everyone is born perfect, and that the goal of healing is to get you to see your own perfection and to start to live it and feel it. Instead of thinking you're going to grow old and get decrepit and die, you kind of keep your vitality until the moment you do pass. You don't need to live that, you know, downward slope. And so Born Perfect is all about that.
Well, I love it. I love the name. Now, can you stay on the line and take calls from callers if we have any?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, the show's only another 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to open the lines up if anybody wants to call in and have a question for Lita, because you did say a lot in a very short period of time. So if anybody needs any clarification, I think it'd be great if you could stay on the line instead of me trying to interpret how you would answer it. So the number is 949-313-8880. 949-313-8880, in case anybody wants to call in while we're chatting away anyway. And I love what you're doing. Like I said, everything I've been trying to do is teach people to have, love themselves exactly the way they are. Because they are perfect. We're all spirit. We're all made in the same image and likeness of a bigger source. And I think that we're all fantastic. We're all fabulous. You know, it's like nobody's any better than anybody else or less than or more than, but we all need to shine, because if we don't shine, well, what's the point? It's not arrogant. I think it's just being honorable to our source, to just be who we are, really are to our fullest, right?
Yes. I always say living your life to your full potential. Mm-hmm. And in one of the things about the story, the news reporter is the person who put the Born Perfect title on the newspaper, and I went, oh, that is it. And I had said it, but it stood out so perfectly, because a lot of the work I do is called alchemy.
Right.
And alchemy is just what you said. How can I live my life to my fullest potential? And a lot of the really old famous alchemists in China were Chinese medicine practitioners, and they believed that we were perfect, like gold. When you bury gold in the ground, and you dig it up, thousands of years later, it looks exactly the same. It's not tarnished, it's not ruined, it's not corroded. But you bury other metals in the ground and you dig them up, and they're all, you know, broken down and corroded.
Right, right.
So they said, we are like gold. That's who we truly are. And we just have to remember that. We forgot that.
Right, right. We do forget that. And I think that was really, truly what alchemy was about from the beginning. It was never about turning, you know, cheap metal into gold. I think it was about realizing that we're all gold. So you don't need to turn, right? I mean,
Yes. And in Chinese medicine, there's alchemical stages where you can sort of walk through how you can purge yourself of all of those thoughts that make you feel like you're silver or lead, and you can get closer and closer to that state of feeling your perfection.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote something in my last book for Llewellyn, Life in Transition, and I said it. We need to think of ourselves as I think I said gold. I might have said a diamond, but I said as that something precious as gold inside a box. And it doesn't matter if the box gets kicked or dented or dirty or wrinkled or it doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter, because we're the gold inside the box. We're not the box. You know, so
that's perfect.
Yeah, something like that. I said it probably more eloquently at the time, but yeah, exactly. I've been trying to tell people that forever. It's like we need to realize how special we are already, and that we don't need to be, you know, with all the stuff with bullying and all that that's going on in the world today, and Trump talking down about women and all this other stuff. It's amazing to me that it's still going on, but it is. And that one of the things I would like to get through to people, and to, you know, my message is just love yourself more than you love anybody else. And like I said, that's not arrogant. It's just honoring who you really are. Because then your capacity to love other people is stronger. And your capacity to forgive, your capacity to be abundant, everything comes from what you think of yourself first.
That's great. That is perfect. I love it.
Did that make sense? I mean, I really kind of believe that. So if anybody has any questions out there about intuition or developing it or the five elements or how to figure out which one you are, maybe, how do you figure out which one you are, Lita? Or do you just
Well, that's a good question. It's, it, it's something that, you know, I think one of the books I have called Connecting Your Circle, we have a little test, but I don't like to use paper tests. And there's a lot of them online, and I'm kind of always worry of them because it's about your energy. So I have to see you to really make sure that that's your element. I have to watch you move. I have to listen to you talk, the sound of your voice. Right. I even look at, like, how the light shines from your face can tell me things. Wow. Even the smell of a person can tell me what energy type they are. So my favorite way to tell is how a person walks. So it's hard to watch yourself walk. You could have someone videotape it for you.
Right.
But there is a particular walk for each element, and it's one of my favorite ways to kind of get a quick hit on which element someone is.
Right. So, okay. Well, from my voice and everything else, could you tell what I am?
When I first met you and looked at your books, I thought you had a lot of the metal elements. So I was so delighted when you came out with the show Intuitive Ink. I was like, perfect. But when I listen to your voice, I also think you have a lot of fire, because fire voices go up and down. They're kind of perky and peppy and kind of excited. And you have a lot of those qualities in your voice. So the voice of metal has more downward energy. So it has a little bit, like, it goes up for a little bit and then trails off. Now, I'm sure your radio voice might be a little different from your voice at home.
Right.
So we'd have to see, your natural habitat.
That's true, too. Okay, but just tell me really quickly, how do you tell from a person's walk? Like, if you walk really, like, I don't strut, but I sort of have a little, I have a little attitude when I walk, you know? I don't know if
great.
That makes sense.
Okay,
you know,
good.
I have that, like, funky, like, I'm not dancing and I'm not swinging my hips like Marilyn Monroe, but I do have a little attitude. I have a little, you know, I'm like, I try to stand straight. What would that say?
All right. So, let me just go through the walks really quickly.
Yeah.
A marching walk where someone sort of sticks out their chest and their elbows come out from the side, like someone, you know, almost like a military walk.
Mm-hmm.
That walk is wood. And that's pretty easy to see. The
fire
walk
stick,
is
because they have a stick up their butt, right? No, I couldn't help that.
We
walked right.
We even say that they look like they never bend their knees. It's like their leg just comes out from their hip and flops down on the ground, and they like big shoes, and then kind of have a really big presence.
I'm taking you seriously. I just couldn't help that.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
And the fire walk is the easiest because fire people bounce. And you ever see someone who just bounces like crazy when they walk? They're definitely fire.
Right.
And, you know, even if you have fire second or third, you might have a little bit of a bounce in your walk. So that one is very important. The next would be earth. Earth has side-to-side hips. So the Marilyn Monroe, you know, kind of like hips going side to side, even though she wasn't Earth, but I think she did that on purpose.
Well, yeah, she was. That was like the radio voice. You know, you never know what she was like in person.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, Beyonce's Earth, there's Shakira, like a lot of the women out there that have that amazing walk, you know, it's an Earth walk.
Right.
And then metal's a little trickier. So the first thing you look at with metal people is that when they're walking, their shoulders are really far back and their arms dangle. So you look for kind of almost like a puppet, like floppy arms. Okay. Their heads are very erect and it looks like they're dangling from a string.
Wow.
So the rest of their body is just kind of floating on a cloud.
Huh.
So that's how they walk. And then the last one is water, and water gait. So they push their hips forward so their butt flips flat, and they skate along barely lifting their feet, but not scuffing, definitely getting somewhere. They walk with a lot of purpose and forward, often quickly, so some waters can walk slow.
Wow, that's fascinating. So you could tell a lot about a person. I can just from looking at someone, too. I can usually tell what kind of energy I don't know that I wasn't classifying, but that's because I wasn't studying the five elements, but I kind of get a grasp of people just from, you know, their voice, the way they walk, the way they sit, how they move, you know, and smell.
And
too,
the eye.
Right?
Have you ever noticed, like, people's eyes that are very boring and intense, like they really stare into you, those are wood eyes, and fire eyes are almost coquettish, like they look at you and look away, they look almost like they could be flirting, but it's like they won't stare at you at all. And earth eyes are like doe eyes, they're just big and like they're listening to you, almost like, wow. And metal eyes are really interesting. So since we're talking about intuition, they have this distant look, like they're looking in the distance, like through you, like they have X-ray vision and they can see right through you.
Right. Wow. It's fascinating.
Water eyes.
Go ahead.
Well,
we didn't finish. I'm sorry. I didn't let you finish. Water eyes are.
Water eyes are the hardest. They're either slits or they're big, like earth eyes, like wide open, but they're like intense. And they're watching everything. They're wide open because they're like aware and vigilant about everything around them.
Wow. So. No, it is. It's fascinating. Yeah. Does anybody have any questions out there? The number is 949-313-8880. I'm going to let Lita go in a few minutes. So if we have any callers that have any questions, call now. Now. Now's the time. There is only now. There is no other time. So call now. We'll see if anyone calls in, and if not, then I'll let you go in a couple of minutes. But it has been truly fascinating, and you're doing some amazing work. And I love Born Perfect, and you're going to do books and classes too, right? Online?
Yes. Yes. A lot of it is just really making things accessible to people, that it's like this ancient wisdom. We don't want to lose it. We want to be able to access it. And there's just so many wonderful things that I want to bring out to people so that they can, you know, assimilate it.
Well, yeah, and make it easily. I feel like what you're doing is taking all of this ancient wisdom and making it really understandable. You know,
yes, you know, one of my careers was in technology, as I said. I started off in technology, and I used to do, at one point, tech writing, where I was doing, like, help files. Like, you know, when you click, you know, help on your computer, and it's, like, people trying to tell you how to do this complex thing. So that was my job years and years ago, and I thought, wow, I'm still doing that.
And people, they don't get into it if they can't understand it. They'll be like, no, what does that mean, you know? And a lot of people want quick fixes and things like that, and they're not willing to go a little deeper. And if you can make it easily understandable and relatable, and also I kind of try to, it's not that complicated when you get right down to it. I think a lot of people have made it complicated so that they keep bringing people in, but it really isn't. And so for me, it's always been one of my jobs to cut the BS out of stuff and just tell it like it is so people can really get it and not need.
And one of the things that I did was I co-authored the books with a wonderful writer who is, you know, has a tremendous amount of humor. And I just was such a serious writer. It was just wonderful to team up with someone who could make things, not only like I'm trying to make them easy, but she's making it more palatable. And together, it's just been a great team. So,
well, what team was that? What was the book? Is it out?
The Energy of Love was published by Llewellyn in, I think, 2014. And that was written by us, Jay McElroy and myself. And then Connecting Your Circle, we wrote together. And that's also about the five elements.
And what I love about
that book is that book doesn't just say this is your element, but it also has this wonderful chapter on, well, how can I develop my other elements? So, you know, if you're metal or fire and you have like no wood, you're not a great leader. People don't kind of listen to you when you say do this. Like, you know, it's just not your forte. But if, let's say, you wanted to develop that, like you want to start your own business, that's the realm of wood. So in the book, I talk a lot about, well, how could you strengthen your wood, for example, or any of the other four elements?
Wow. Yes, that's interesting too. I have to ask you though, because it is intuitive ink. So the ink part of this, how was it co-authoring a book?
It was such a joy. It was so much fun. I picked a humor writer, and you know, we had been she'd been studying Chinese medicine with me for quite some time, so she really had a good grasp of it. And we just laughed. I mean, we just made it light and fun and easy. So it made my job so much more fun and lighter for myself, because I have a sort of academic sense of writing, a little bit too serious.
Right.
So it was really a pleasure.
Well, it's such a solitary thing, writing, you know, because you've written mm-hmm. books on your own. You're in a room, and that's that, you know. I mean, I go off on a zone, so I don't really feel it. But so I was wondering, because part of writing to me is being in that zone, and if there's somebody else around or contributing, it would be really hard for me to get creative.
But yes. I think also just my nature, the fire nature, mm-hmm. is very difficult to sort of stick to and finish a task like that. So having another person there really helped me a lot. Like, I had been writing that book for 10 years, the first book. And then once I decided to write it with her, we were done in less than 6 months.
Well, there, yeah, there you go. I mean, there's got to be. And also, a lot of people co-write together, and they do their parts separately, and then they get together and do the rest together and just make it a big party, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of
fun. That's how we worked.
Well, that's good. Well, you're doing amazing work. I don't think we have any callers calling in, and we're kind of running out of time here, but you're awesome. And again,
thank you.
It's Leta. Leta Herman, Herman, and that's your website as well, right, Leta?
LetaHerman.com? Yes, LetaHerman.com.
Right, and you're in Massachusetts, but I'm sure you go all over the place. And now, you know what I've realized too, Leta, that I'm doing fewer and fewer workshops in person. People don't want to go anywhere anymore when they can do things online now.
Realizing that too.
I've been... Yeah, go ahead.
I've been thinking more about live streaming my classes. I'm really looking at exactly what you're talking about. People really like the online delivery of classes.
Right. I'm starting to look into that as well, because I do them in person and the attendance is going down and down and down. And it's because traffic in Los Angeles is worse and worse and worse. And people just don't want to go. And it's easier, more convenient, it's more cost effective to start doing everything online now.
Yes, and I even attended a workshop in San Francisco by live stream a few months back. I was like, oh gosh, I don't have to fly across the country for this one. It was great.
Well, that's what I mean. That's great. And could you still ask questions, or could you do it?
Yes.
You can. So it's not like you.
Yes.
See, the world is changing.
I know. So great.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for doing this with me. I've had a blast, and I think the work is excellent. And you do touch on intuition. Like you said, that was the first thing when you started how to run your life with the Chinese, kind of put it a different way, I'm sure. But the first thing up there was intuition. We have to listen to our inner core, our true selves.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and I think it's, you know, there's a reason why meditation is so promoted in all of the Eastern religions, and that's because that's how you receive the intuition, is through meditation. And like I said, at dawn is a great time, or early morning. You know, just sit quietly. You don't have to, like, make it complicated. Just sit and see what your spirit's telling you.
Right. Listen. Yeah, listen. Yeah. I meditate every day.
Yeah.
I have meditated every day for the past 40 years. So, I mean, I'll tell you something. If I don't meditate in the morning, first thing when I get, I don't get out of bed till I've meditated. Or if I fall out of bed, then I'll meditate before I get up off the floor. And if I don't do it, my life is a wreck by noon. I'm just banging into, I mean, I am just not the same person. And I start all of my classes and everything else. It's 5 minutes of meditation in the morning will change your life. Because the biggest excuse I hear from everyone is they don't have time. And I would rather them take 5 minutes in the morning every day than take 20 minutes two times a week, twice a week, you know?
Absolutely.
So preferably 15. How long do you meditate for in the morning?
Not long. I'd say 10 minutes to 15 minutes. I tend to also meditate in the evening. And so that tends to be longer right before bed. So
it just depends.
Some days, 5 minutes. Some days, that's it.
That's what I said. 5 minutes is better than and nothing. And it will still change your life. And I do 15 in the morning. So it's not a long, complicated thing. It's just a quick check-in. I'm here. You know, tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. And that's it. So I'm a big fan of yours now, Lita, and I really want to thank you for being on the show, and I wish you all the success in the world. And when you have a new book out, please call me. We'll do this again.
All right, Sarah. Thank you so much. I'm so happy we got to do this.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Bye. Well, we don't have any callers, but if we do, I've got a couple of minutes, not many. It's 949-313-8880. I'm doing a workshop next Sunday, so I'm going to be recording my show for next week. That's April the 10th. And so I do have a great guest, Melanie Klein, who will be on for the whole hour because it's going to be pre-recorded because of my workshop. She's awesome. She's in a book called Llewellyn's Complete Guide to Mindful Living. I've written two chapters for that book. She's written one. And it's all about body image and loving yourself right on target with what I talk about all the time. So she's a fascinating woman. I'd love for you to tune into that next Sunday. It won't be live, but it'll still be on the air at the same time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So also, if you can't do that, I will be at Awakenings doing a workshop from 4 to 6 p.m. on the 10th, which is why I won't be live on the radio, and I'll try to be live from now on. Otherwise, you try to catch it if you can. Also, Memos from My Higher Self, my blog, please visit it. My website is servethasan.com, servethasan.com. I'm also available for private sessions, and you can go on my website and find out anything you need to know. I am really happy to be doing this show. I hope we have some more callers from time to time, but well, that'll come. And in the meantime, I'm just happy to be doing it because, like I said, this show is for you. So I really want to hear from you. If you have any comments or questions, email me. You can go on my website and send an email. Or Servette Hassan I think it's servette@servettehassan.org. And you can catch me that way. I have a really interesting person that's coming up next, Ronald Reeder. His show is following mine at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that's in 2 minutes. I'm going to get off here. He is awesome. He's a medium, Ron Reeder. His guest today is Tommy Bull, a movie director. So if you're interested in the movies or anything to do with the movies, I am sure this is going to be fascinating. I also think his show is going to go a little longer, maybe an hour and a half. And he takes callers and questions from people. So you can call in and do that. Anyway, keep up with everything I'm doing. I've got the blog. I've got workshops. Everything's on my website. Lots of fun. We're going to have a ton of fun shows in April. I'm telling you, lots of good ones. So please stay tuned and keep coming back. And like I said, be you to the full because that's what's really beautiful. Thank you very much. It's Servette signing off. Bye.